Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Welcome to another episode of Adventures in Companionship with myself, Rufila, and the amazing Dr. Bill Price. He's definitely not new to radio. He was the national presenter for 4 programs years ago. Glad to have him back. So Dr. Bill is a Master Executive Global Leadership and Strategy Coach. He is also qualified in neuroscience, which is brain biology, and a member of Institute of Coaching to the McPhee Association from the Harvard Medical University. He is a professional international speaker coach, a husband to Estelle, a father to 2 adult children, and a grandpa to 4 amazing alive grandchildren. He loves reading, hiking in mountains, laughter, walking in nature, good movies, socializing, and as a futurist, scanning the horizon for new trends unfolding as we live in the now of today. Family, let us all welcome Dr. Bill Price.
Hi, everyone, and what a privilege and pleasure once again. And I want to say up front, I am a friend of Refilwe, and she is such an amazing young lady with such a great mission on this planet, working with young ladies and women and young people. What an inspiration.
It's an honor. Oh, my, well, you're making me feel good about myself.
Well, if that doesn't happen in a relationship, then what is the relationship all about?
And today we're speaking about fun and enjoyment.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying this. I'm having fun.
I love the Presbyterians.
Yeah.
Why do I love them? Because in their catechism, the question is asked to the students that are going through catechism, what is our purpose on earth? And the answer is what I absolutely love. I wish every single denomination will take this to heart. Mm. The answer is, my man's chief purpose is to worship God and enjoy Him.
Wow.
So the sad thing about Christianity that really gets me is that we stop in half sentence, worship God. Sadly, Christians make it so serious and always chasing sin. Not that sin is not there, but their focus is just on holy living, and this is what 7 steps to this and 8 steps for that, and for the lazy Christian, an escalator. Help me, Jesus. So it's like, hey, when you look at Yeshua, Jesus, on the planet, did you know that he was anointed with joy? He had his attitude with regards to the future. And the future, which was the cross, the most cruel death known to man, is he who had the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So even with rejoicing and joy, he endures the most painful death ever known to man on the planet.
Mm.
The Rabbi Paul, the apostle, don't feel great about the word apostle. The word apostle is not some big dude out there who has now got this title and everybody has to now bow to them. And the word apostle, that's how the church has made it, sadly. It's a hierarchical word. Church made it hierarchical. God doesn't make apostle hierarchical. The word apostle in the Greek simply means one that is sent. So to all the apostles out there, you are actually just one that is sent. You don't have a title. You just have a calling, one that is sent. Mm. So we tend to make everything so serious. Everything is serious.
Everything.
Everything. It's sad, isn't it? I mean,
there's
we lose our joy. Yeah. When I left the ministry, so I was a full-time pastor, and I decided, after a very painful experience where I really had messed up and I went through a renewal in my life period for about 2 to 3, 4, nearly 4 years.
Mm.
When I look back, I really had to come to one conclusion. I had to leave the church to save my faith.
Wow.
And I sat back and I can remember saying to a friend of mine who was a clinical psychologist at the time, he said, so you must be angry. What are you angry about? And I said, and to this day, my wife Estelle and I still talk about it. When we became Christians, all fun stopped because everything was sin. We weren't allowed to go to the movies. And then when television came out, we were told it's the devil's box.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, and growing, the aerial is up. His ears and tail on the roof.
Really?
Yeah.
You had it rough.
Yeah, yeah, we really had it rough. You weren't allowed to dance. You weren't allowed to drink wine. You weren't allowed to have fun. And I can say that my deepest resentment and anger that I had to work through in my life was the church robbed me of my joy, robbed me of fun times, robbed me of just enjoyment. Our wedding was the most boring event of life, and yet the wedding that Jesus went to, he creates 300 gallons of wine and says, carry on with it. It was his first miracle. He resurrected a dead body. So, and Jesus, who was anointed with joy, laughs. God laughs. The Old Testament, there's scriptures that God laughs and dances and whistles with joy. And Paul, the apostle and rabbi, writes to young Timothy and he says, Timothy, God, Hashem, Yahweh, has given us all things to enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Laughter. And we've lost all of that. We get so serious in our friendship. The sad thing is when I had a friendship with a group of fellow ministers, we would talk about changing the world and purpose and all of that stuff. And eventually I got so tired of purpose and so tired of meaning and so tired of wanting to change the world. One day I just said, guys, when are we going to have fun?
Yeah.
And so we decided we're going to include every second meeting is going to be a fun meeting. And so we went and we did river rafting as fun. We did mountain climbing as fun. We went hiking as fun.
Yeah.
We went to movies as fun. We watched DVDs as fun. We told each other jokes as fun. And we brought laughter back into the space. My question is, you might be married and you might be serious and you might have a girlfriend and a boyfriend. And to me, what's missing in the church is, well, at one time, I know in the charismatics, there was a time there was this anointing of laughter that came around and everybody laughed and then it went away. And I'm going, so where's the laughter gone now? Why aren't we laughing anymore? Laughter should be natural. It's not a spiritual thing that happens where the spirit comes upon you and you laugh. That could also happen, I guess.
Yeah.
But when last have you laughed in your marriage? When last have you laughed at each other? When last have you laughed at your mother and your mother laughed at you, going, you know what? What I've just said is the silliest thing that I've ever said in my entire life. So come, let's laugh about it because it was so stupid. So when we lose out on the fun factor in our space, the enjoyment factor, it's like I've lost thankfulness.
Mm.
I've lost gratitude. I've lost the anticipation for freedom to be me. And we lose out on all those things in our life simply because we lose out and we decide fun is wrong. Fun is sinful. Fun is, I don't know.
And you don't want to do anything wrong. No, you don't want God to be angry at you. By the way, because if you have fun, God will be angry.
Oh, okay. That's a new one to me.
Because those are things that I heard. Like, I wasn't allowed to go swimming. And if ever I go swimming, I have to wear a lot of garments. So,
yeah,
you can't go to the beach or the pool wearing your swimsuit.
Yeah, like you're setting yourself up to be a drown victim straight away.
So many things there. Like people, I think people come up with their own form of religion and just say that is what God wants.
Yeah. How sad is that? So I don't know. A lot of people. So I went to a school and I had a matric class in front of me, and I said, okay, take out a piece of paper and pen. And we did some breathing exercises, and I said, okay, get everything that you can just out of your mind. And when I say go, I want you to draw the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah.
I said, great. Okay, are you all ready? 1, 2, 3, draw God. And the looks that I got, and eventually I said, come on, come on, come on. And the pictures that I got, one was a waterfall, another one was a sunset or a sunrise, another one was butterflies and stars and the universe. Then I got three drawings, which I still have today. The one was a drawing of a being with his head in the clouds, and out of the clouds is coming lightning strokes. In his left hand is a sickle, in his right hand is a whip. I said to this person, is God like that? He said, well, God is like that. He's way up there. And if he doesn't cut me down in death, he's going to whip me, but he's going to get me. That's their picture of God. Another person had a picture of a being that was standing on a few stairs on the top on a platform, also head in the cloud. I said, why do you relate to God like that? And he said, well, the person is always up there looking at me. There were two big eyes in the cloud, two big eyes that came out of the cloud. And he's looking at me to see where I'm going to fail, where I'm going to mess up on the Ten Commandments. And he's always high and mighty, and I can't get to him and I can't reach him. He's not at my level at all. I don't know about that. I think that the fact that we've been given joy and laughter, that our joy may be full, is one of the scriptures that I can remember. And our joy doesn't mean just spiritual. That's the saddest thing that Christians are doing with fun. They're turning it into, no. Now we're doing spiritual things. So what are we doing? Well, when you're reading a Bible, that's spiritual. And when you're praying, when last have you laughed in your prayers?
Wow. I actually don't even remember having such an encounter, if I'm being honest.
Okay. So, and David, on one account, swore in one of his prayers. He used the swear word in one of the Psalms. So the reality is that we have pictured God to be funless. There's no smile on God. He's out to get us. He's going to judge us one day. And all he's looking for is, you've got to keep your garment spotless. You've got to be clean. Yeah. You've got to not be sin. And we are so sin-orientated in our relationships and in our being that being sinful is all that we're focusing on. And we're not focusing on, so everybody is focusing on the Ten Commandments. And I'm going, okay, so what are we allowed to do? So we are allowed to marry. We are allowed to enjoy each other. We are allowed to enjoy each other's company. We are allowed to run. We are allowed to walk. We are allowed to watch movies. We are allowed to drink wine. We are allowed to whatever, whatever, whatever. And we live in such, and then they say, no, you've got to live in such a way that you don't want anybody else to stumble because they're weak. So here's my question. When do the weak grow up?
Oh, wow.
Do you want them to stay weak for the rest of their lives? Are we going to play the tune to the minority out there all the time? And the minority groups that are saying, well, the church doesn't accept us and doesn't love us and all of that. And so we play to their tune. I'm going, stop it. Allow them to be who they are.
Yeah.
And allow us to be who we are.
Absolutely.
And let's be who we are.
Yeah.
And let's allow enjoyment. David wrote and he said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I don't know how many people there are that get into their cars and go, man, I'm so glad I'm on my way to church. I'm really happy to go to church. I'm really excited about it. I'm not happy when I go to church for a few good reasons. Number one, it's so predictable. I know that they're going to sing, then there's an offering, then there's a sermon, then there's an invitation.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on and on. And it's
every
going to be
Sunday.
The same every single Sunday, twice a Sunday. And then when they call us to prayer meetings, it's all, everything is like, and I'm not saying it shouldn't be serious, but I am saying, where's the fun? Where are we enjoying God? Where do I say, Father, I enjoy being in your presence. I love it, Lord. I absolutely love being with you.
Yeah.
I love it in your prayer. When last have we said that as a companion, to our companion? I love listening to you. I love watching you. I love paying attention to who you are. I said to a young man the other day who was being coached, I looked at him and I said, you know what? If I was your father, I would sit on the fence all day and look at you. I just want to watch you. I just want to be in awe about what you're doing. He said, not even my father has ever said that to me. And I'm going, you know what? The reality is that God is watching over us. He is looking at everything. And he's not looking with a checklist in his hand to go, you did that wrong. You did that wrong. He's looking with anticipation. Mm. He's like the prodigal son's father who's looking down the road for a dirty child to come running home. He's looking forward to them. He's looking forward to kiss that child on and over and over and over again. He didn't just kiss his son once. The word kiss in the New Testament in that scripture was continuous present. In other words, he kept on kissing while the son was saying, Father, I'm so bad. Don't make me a servant in your house. And you're going, kissing him all the time. And here we think that the father just kissed him once. He was being kissed while he was telling his entire story. And take a moment when you read that scripture and ask the question, what's it like to feel being loved and kissed while you trying to convince God how bad you are?
Sure. Because we do that a lot. It's like we either convince God about like what we did and how bad it is, or we try to justify why we did something instead of just being vulnerable in his presence.
Yeah.
And having fun, as you said.
Yeah. And I wonder the next time anybody sins, if they will go on their knees, lift their hands and go, so I want to have a prodigal son experience now. I know I failed. I don't need to tell you anything about my failure.
Yeah.
I know I've sinned. There's nothing that I'm going to tell you is going to convince you more or less.
Mm.
I mean, you were there watching me when I did it, for goodness sake. So what am I trying to convince you by telling you? And I just love you to kiss me now, please. And just kiss me over and over and over and over and over. And will you please make the announcement, this is my beloved son.
And be pleased with me.
Absolutely.
Oh, that was amazing. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Adventures of Companionship with myself, Rufule, and Dr. Bill Price. Remember, you can email him on inspired@drbillprice.com. Remember, it's inspired@drbillprice.com for any queries, questions that you may have.
One vision, one voice, one message. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM and 729 Cape Pulpit, impacting lives from Gauteng to the Cape.
It's difficult to face the overwhelming pressures of life alone. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to, someone to listen to us. And what better way to do that than through a quick and easy WhatsApp text? Whether you're having a hard time coping with school, family issues, being bullied, depression, or anxiety, speak to someone who cares today. Send a WhatsApp message to 064-530-6805 or 074-995-9085. Our I Am Youth Counseling team, Charles Dudoy and Danny Vambili, are ready to connect with you today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.